I'm Neil from Legends Podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, a Marvel Comic Universe fan show, number 132, discussing X-Men Season 1, Episode 11 and 12, Days of Future Past. This show is recorded on Thursday, June 30th, 2016. Legends of SHIELD is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of SHIELD, Marvel's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe, because of time-traveling mutants that forgot why they're there.
If you'd like to talk to us about Bishop's memory problems, you can contact us at our website, legendsofshield.com. You can get a hold of us at our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can find us on our Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, all at Legends of SHIELD. You can find us on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And you can find our network's website at GunnaGeek.com.
So, this week, we aren't going to be talking about Daredevil because Starpie isn't here to lead the discussion. So, we decided it's time to talk cartoons.
We have decided to hijack this. We are driving this thing into the ground.
As we do.
Yes. There will be no highlights from the live chat room because we are not recording live right now.
Right, because Starpie does that part and we do not.
But I guess we should probably keep up with some of the housekeeping. Can't make Starpie do it all.
Okay.
We are still doing a giveaway for the Marvel Collector Core crate, Women of Power. And yeah, that's the thing that's happening and making me very jealous.
Yeah, we got one new entry this week. Badger Spoon hit us up on Twitter and said Lindsay Lohan for Tony with an I, Stark.
Yeah, because the way that you win this thing, and seriously, y'all, it's like so easy to enter and it's fun, is you tell us what currently male character in the MCU you want to see gender swapped. And not only that, but who you would cast as that gender swapped version. So yeah, I can definitely see Lindsay Lohan as a chick Tony Stark.
Right. And the criteria for winning is whoever entertains us the most. So
as per usual.
Yeah.
You've heard enough of us by now that you know our senses of humor. So yes, we demand to be pandered to.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Also, we accept bribes. For contests.
We do accept bribes.
We are not above that.
No. So, that being done, we watched X-Men, the animated series from, what, like 1992?
Yes.
And we watched the episodes Days of Future Past, Part 1 and 2, because, you know, the movie just came out. This was Apocalypse. Days of Future Past was the last one.
Yeah. That came out like 3 years ago.
Yeah. But I was watching it on HBO.
So it's recent. It's fine.
It's recent. It's recent-ish. You know, we've been wanting to talk about the animated series, the classic animated series, classic as in the 1990s, which, what do you mean, was not 10 years ago. And this seemed like a good place to start. It was a nice two-parter, and it was in season one, and oh my God, it was just so full of nostalgia and hilarity, and I loved it.
I remember coming home from school and watching this and watching Spider-Man on Fox.
Oh, man. I used to wake up on Saturday mornings and I would call my best friend, Sarah, and we would wake up like ass end early, like 7 early. And we would talk on the phone all the way through the Fox cartoons. We would watch like Eek the Cat and Tasmania and Life with Louie and all those other cartoons that like nobody remembers now. And we would watch all the way through Spider-Man and X-Men. And that was like when the morning was over, was after X-Men was done.
I'm just enough younger than you that I don't think I watched any of these as they were airing on Saturday mornings.
Oh, it was so fantastic. I loved it so much. So part one was written by Julia Leewald. Leewald. Let's go with Leewald.
Okay, let's go with that. Who has, you know, several writing and story editor and producer credits for a bunch of animated shows, including Avengers United They Stand, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Young Hercules, which was one of my favorite shows.
Yes. Which, by the way, co-stars Feely from the Hobbit movies.
Yes, it does. He was young Aeolus.
Yeah.
And young Ryan Gosling as Hercules.
How did I remember Feely and forget about Ryan Gosling?
I don't know. I remember him being on like one random episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark, too.
Oh, Nickelodeon. Those are the days.
And this is one of two episodes of X-Men that she did.
I was going to say the TV they have now is crap, but it's really not because I've been watching a lot of it. The TV they had 5 years ago was crap. And part two was written by Robert N. Skurr, who, by the way, when I Googled him, a lot, like half of the stuff that came up is this like Icelandic yogurt called Skyr, which I know about because I watched Bizarre Foods. So I'm guessing he was like Icelandic or something, like in somewhere along the family line, and Marty Eisenberg. And they all have the same kind of writing pedigree. They all wrote for Gargoyles and Spider-Man and Batman and Dog City, inexplicably enough, which we were talking about a little before the show. I remembered it being terrible. And it was this show, it's a blend of animation and Muppets. But then all the, you know, critiques of it I found said, no, the show is amazing. And I'm thinking, did I misremember this completely? And then I looked and there was some other dog show running around the same time that was terrible. Road Rovers. So I think I got them confused in my head.
But Marty Eisenberg is currently supervising producer on Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, the animated show.
Yeah, and he's also writing for Ultimate Spider-Man and Hulk and the Agents of Smash, which of those, I don't watch Hulk and the Agents of Smash, but I watch the other ones and they're pretty good.
I need to be watching them. I just don't have enough time.
But they all wrote for a bunch of good shows and a couple of not so good ones, but you know what you're going to do.
Everybody's got to pay the rent.
So, Days of Future Past. Okay, let's start with the theme song. Best theme song ever or best theme song ever?
Best theme song ever.
Okay, somebody, I think it was Jenny Trout on Twitter, who's a really good author, very funny. I think it was her that pointed out that somebody mentioned that if you start humming the X-Men theme song and then go into Whitney Houston's I'm Your Baby Tonight, it's like the same thing, and now I can't unhear that.
I don't think I've ever heard that song, so I'm safe.
You haven't?
I'm not going to change it now.
Okay, well, it's true. Anybody who has ever heard like early Whitney Houston, I think it might have been her first number one song. One of the early ones anyway. But yeah, no, I start thinking about it and now it's one of those things I can never unhear. But still, it's like the best theme song. It is the song of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I still picture whenever I hear it, the sound effects. You know, like the Wolverine's claws and Cyclops shooting the Danger Room robots and everything. I can still picture them in my head so clearly.
I see the X-Men logo coming up through the screen and them crossing across the screen. That's what I picture when I hear it.
When we went to go see Civil War, like, I mean, not all together, even though that would have been awesome. But the part where they're running across the tarmac at the airport, anytime I see a scene like that, I think of the opening credits for X-Men. You know, the Brotherhood and the X-Men running across the screen at each other. That's just, it's just what I think of.
Yeah, I thought about that too when I saw it.
So we go and it's the future and it's the terrible future. Like you could tell it's just the terrible future because everyone has mullets and weird clothes and oh, wait, it wasn't the 90s? Okay. The show, just the style of it is amazing.
I know. Well, because if they keep with the pattern they've been doing for the X-Men movies, the next one is in the 90s. And I really hope they do that.
Oh my God, I know. One of the things that I love doing is watching documentaries. And I watched, I guess it was like a 9/11 documentary a couple years ago. And on the one hand, you know, it's horrible and everything. And on the other, there's this little separate part of me that's like, is that what we were wearing back then? And this is only, you know, at the time, I guess it was about 15 years before. No, this is 15 years. Okay, whatever. It was like 12 years before, I guess. And it was just already so different. So you compare that to 1992 and the clothes that they were drawing is already, you know, very 80s because it wasn't officially the end of the 80s until what? Like 1993, 1994?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So you have the mullets, you have the big neon clothes. Older Wolverine, he had these big blowjob lips. Like, am I wrong?
I wasn't paying attention. I was distracted by his 4 foot wide hair.
He's like a tree. The older he gets, like, the bigger the hair gets. It's like, if you want to know how old Wolverine is, just cut half of his hair in half and count the rings. But no, he was an interesting looking older Wolverine. Just wow. I was a little disappointed that he didn't only have one hand, but then I was like, no, that's Age of Apocalypse Wolverine. That's not this version. But yeah, the future is terrible. Bishop catches them because he's a bounty hunter, and then he decides to split because the Sentinels wouldn't pay him.
No, they were going to terminate him, too.
I mean, why pay somebody if you could just kill him?
You've caught too many of these mutants for us, so now we have to kill you.
Okay, what kind of logic is that?
Good business plan, Officer Sentinel. But then we go back to Forge's workshop.
I want to see Forge in the movies. I want to see him in the movies so bad.
There's a lot of characters I want to see.
I've always kind of loved Forge because, you know, his mutant power is he's awesome with building things.
Yeah.
And I want to see, and I know this is impossible since right now Fox owns X-Men and Marvel owns everything else pretty much except for the Fantastic Four. But I want to see Tony Stark and Forge in like a build-off.
And then Tony's like, it's no fair. You've got superpowers. You're cheating.
Yeah. And then, like, everybody else is just behind them, like, you know, having coffee. And these two are just throwing, like, an epic fit.
There's just nuts and bolts flying everywhere.
Yeah. And Magneto's like, clean up, make some sort of horrible thing, and then, like, ha, I win.
I feel like he would just be, like, stealing parts from them just to screw with them.
Oh, that would be great. Marvel, why don't you hire us to write for you? We are giving you gold.
Gold. That's what this is. Gold.
So one thing I kept noticing was that despite the fact that Forge grew up in this place, it's like they kept dropping all this information on him like it was the first time he'd ever heard it, and it's a surprise to him every time. They're like, okay, all this stuff happened because of an assassination. Bishop's like, really? Wow.
Well, if this happened 30 years before he was born, he might not know what caused the situation.
Well, no, but when he sees Gambit later on, spoiler, he's like, I grew up my whole life hating you.
Oh, that's right. Yep, it just makes no sense.
No, I love this show so much. This was so important to me, and I still love it. But come on, like some of the writing and voice acting and everything is kind of interesting.
Well, they had to dump the exposition on us somehow without giving away too much in the beginning. So they couldn't just tell him, like, hey, we need you to go kill Gambit.
Yeah. And so, Forge, who apparently knows nothing because he is Jon Snow, I don't know, ends up going back in time instead of Wolverine.
No, Bishop goes back.
Oh, Bishop. Yes. Sorry. Wolverine was supposed to go back in time, but Bishop's like, you can't even beat me, old man. And Wolverine growls and makes angry face at him. And so Bishop goes back in time and then can't remember anything and assumes that he's still in the present because New York is terrible. And this was pre-Giuliani. So anybody who remembers pre-Giuliani New York does remember that it was a den of sin and iniquity and strip joints. And then Giuliani like rounded up all the homeless people and made a deal with Disney for Times Square. This is true facts. Y'all can just look this up. It's true. This happened. But because this is pre-Giuliani New York, Bishop's like, oh, this is the horrible future. And then like a police officer comes and tries to arrest him. And doesn't he like try to shoot the cop?
I don't remember. I just remember him reading the newspaper date, but not giving the date because they couldn't do that. Because it had to be the near future.
19. I did make it to the past. So he like steals a bus. That's what I remember. He steals a freaking bus and decides to drive to the Xavier School to find this assassin who for a while there, he like couldn't remember what he was supposed to do. And then he's like, oh yeah, assassin. So my favorite thing is he just like kicks everyone off the bus and steals the bus like it's no thing.
Right. Because that's the most practical mode of transportation he could take.
Totally is. In the meantime, they go back to the Xavier Mansion. Everyone's just hanging around, having a good time. And my favorite part of this whole thing is Jubilee is just hanging out in like, you know, the, what's it called? That place where I wanted to call it mission control, but that's not what it's called when it's like a security room.
Control center?
Control center, whatever it's called. But she's just hanging out there, you know, watching TV screens, and a bus, a freaking bus with this big tattooed guy drives through the gates at full speed. And she's just like, hey, guys, we got a visitor. Like nothing.
To be fair, anybody that shows up and doesn't destroy the school is, you know, not really worth noticing.
Yeah, no. It's just like as casual as you can imagine, okay? Okay, I live in a gated apartment center.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody drives the wrong way through the open gate, I'm yelling at them. Never mind, like, actually crashing through the gate. But anyway, so she's really calm. Bishop comes in and, you know, there's chaos and everybody's yelling. It's a bad time.
And then they realize that his stuff is super techie.
His freaking wristwatch that he somehow doesn't have a note function on. It's the future. It's 2050, whatever, like 2055, something mm-hmm. like that. And there's no note function on there because he keeps saying, oh, I can't remember what I'm here for. Couldn't you have written yourself a note? Write it on your hand.
Kill Gambit.
Yeah, it's that simple. It's two words. But no, he just keeps saying, I can't remember what I'm here for. I need to kill someone, but I can't remember who. Something's going to happen. I don't remember what. Dude, take a note. So Professor X goes into his head and is like seeing all these visions of, you know, other random mutants, some of whom I recognize, and is like, oh, yeah, he comes from the bad future. I believe him.
Well, Jean can sense his emotions.
Jean can sense his emotions. Oh my God, I forgot how much I hated Jean.
I didn't. I remembered.
Well, the thing is, I've started liking her since then, like, because of in X-Men Apocalypse, I liked her.
Yeah. Other versions of the character aren't awful. This one is awful.
This is the reason that I hated Jean up until, I don't know, maybe the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, she says stupid things, and then she faints. That's like all she does.
She gets kidnapped sometimes.
And she gets kidnapped sometimes. And there's a lot of yelling of, Scott, Jean! There's even one Wolverine yelling, Jean! This episode. Back when it was on Newgrounds, because YouTube didn't exist yet, there was a cartoon that I really liked. It was Floating Hands Productions. And it was right after X-Men 3 came out. And this guy, he had done a bunch of X-Men little ripoff, not ripoff, but little satire cartoons. And for the one that was kind of making fun of X3, he did a whole thing about the, you know, Jean! And every time Wolverine would take a step and his skin would rip off, it would be a different Wolverine costume.
I kind of want to do an arc where we watch all of the episodes that Jean gets kidnapped in.
So that's like half the series. Oh, so then, end of the episode, Rogue walks in, and then Gambit walks in, being awesome, because Rogue and Gambit are awesome. Oh, and Beast is in jail for this, the whole time.
Oh yeah, he's in jail the whole first season.
Yeah, because they're like, grr, mutants, grr, and he's like, I'm going to stay in jail to make a point, and then I think in like the last episode, he busts out. So Gambit and Rogue bust out of jail and go drive home, and they're arguing, and they get home. And Gambit makes an entrance, like, aren't Gambit awesome, or whatever, because I loved Gambit.
Mon ami.
Yeah, but the talking in the third person thing gets really old really fast. And then Bishop's like, I remember, I must kill you, and aims his gun at him and shoots. Which, one of the things that I remember hearing was that Fox Animation gave him the choice of using, what was it?
It was they had to choose between using real guns with bullets or doing Magneto's backstory.
Yeah. So they chose to do Magneto's backstory.
But even to do that, they had to change it so it wasn't tied to the Holocaust.
Yeah. It was just like generic war.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was still pretty dark for a kid's show at the time.
Yeah, they just weren't quite ready to do genocide.
Cut to today with Clone Wars. And we had like full on, you know, Clone Wars explains friendly fire and PTSD to children. How the times have changed. Oh, yeah. And then there was the episode where they basically did Jaws and like the shark's freaking head explodes and you see it floating off in the water in the background. That was an awesome episode. But anyway, back to this.
What happens next? Then they go to Washington?
Okay, well, first it's, you know, then it's the second part of the episode where it's the flashback to Gambit and Rogue driving and arguing. And then Bishop shoots, and he shoots Gambit, but it does nothing. And Cyclops I-beams Bishop, and it does nothing. And then they go to Washington. But Professor X is like, Gambit, you stay here. Bishop, you stay here. And they're both like, no.
And doesn't leave a babysitter.
Doesn't leave a babysitter. Big mistake. So they go to Washington. And in Washington, it's basically a Trump rally, right?
Right.
Like, I'm watching this, and it's like, mutants go home. And I'm like, where?
I was born here. I was born down the street from you, Kevin.
And they go past the Trump rally into the Capitol, where apparently there's a Senate hearing going on about mutants. Just kind of generically about mutants, as there usually is.
About the mutant menace.
About the mutant menace. So they're giving a speech about mutants, as they do like every third episode. I mean, I love this show, but you go back and you watch it and you're like, we have come a long way.
In storytelling?
Yeah.
Well, I think I remember that they didn't always necessarily air the episodes in order either. So there's a lot of times where characters appear and then disappear, or where like a character was kidnapped and then is back in an episode and then is still missing the next episode.
Yeah, there's one scene earlier when they're back at the mansion where I swear I saw Beast and I'm like, but he's in prison. But it was only his hair and it was only for like one scene. So I'm like, okay, I either imagined that or the animators forgot and then remembered. What cracks me up here is that the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants is hanging out at a hotel, just being like, it is almost time for our evil plan. And I'm pretty sure I'm not paraphrasing that. It's like the Blob, Avalanche, Pyro, and Mystique. And they're all just hanging out.
Except I don't think we know Mystique's there at the time.
Well, we see her, like, outline?
Right, right. But it's supposed to be a mystery at this point.
It's supposed to be a mystery. But for the purposes of the story, we don't know.
Who could it be?
Who could it be? Because then when they're like, oh no, it's because the Brotherhood goes and infiltrates the Trump rally. And they start causing trouble because, you know,
that's what they
Avalanche
do.
Uses his earthquake powers and Pyro starts setting things on fire and the Blob is just generally loud and obnoxious. And so then they take the important senator who's going to be assassinated and take him to a side room, and Gambit busts in and is like, I'm going to shoot you. Which, when does Gambit ever shoot anyone? I mean, this is your first clue that not all is as it seems.
Right. He would throw a card at them.
Yeah. And talk about him more in the third person. Well, he does say that I, Gambit, am going to shoot you. Oh, wait. First, I remember what it was. First, it's the, like, secretary brings him to that room and then shapeshifts into Gambit. Because the actual secretary is, like, tied up on the floor as a witness.
Right. Because what's the point in killing a senator if you don't have somebody to tell everybody that you killed the senator?
Yeah. Okay, who comes in first? Actual Gambit or Bishop?
Actual Gambit. Because then Bishop gets in there, shoots, and then is like, there's two of you.
I'll shoot them both. Which I'm like, okay, that's actually a good idea. I always say this whenever there's like, oh no, which one do I shoot? Just shoot them both.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever was the wrong one will understand. And if they don't, well, I'm sorry. I was doing something more important. Sorry, but.
Yeah, especially if you've got a gun with a stun setting, of course you shoot them both.
Yeah. But then Rogue runs in and is like, no! And
to be fair, he did say he was going to use full power.
Yeah. Rogue comes in and sends him back to the future. Because he's wearing this little wrist bracelet that he told him earlier. Oh, if anything happens to this, I'm going to go back to the future. So she like snaps it off him and he goes, no, and goes back to the future. And then it turns out, yes, that this is Mystique as not Gambit. And they have a total Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker moment. And she's like, the last time you saw me, I looked like this, and turns into her foster mother.
Mama!
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, and then so they go walking around. And she's like, okay, because the episode before this was called, like, Comes the Apocalypse. And it was all about Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, like, maybe we should do that. But it was kind of a, like, it just didn't really go anywhere, if I remember right. Like, the actual Apocalypse stuff comes later.
Yeah, I think it's well into season two before they start doing actual Apocalypse stuff.
Yeah.
I almost wanted to do Night of the Sentinels with this, but that would have been a lot.
Yeah. Although it would have been really funny to talk about, oh, hey, here's Morph. Everyone loves Morph. Morph's dead.
Bye, Morph. Except he's not.
It was apparently mind-blowing at the time. It was like Game of Thrones for six-year-olds.
Buffy did the same thing, introduced a character in the very first episode as like one of the main members of the group, and then killed him.
Yeah.
But then they never talked about him ever again.
Yeah, they never mentioned him again. They kept mentioning Morph every now and then. Wolverine, like, felt guilty about him forever.
Yeah, he said Morph almost as often as he said Jean. Morph!
But, yeah, so Mystique and Rogue go out and have a conversation where Mystique basically says, "It is too late for me, daughter," because Apocalypse is totally her Palpatine. And Rogue is like, "No, join us. Join us on the light side." It really is basically that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, which is perfect because none of the kids that were watching this had ever seen Star Wars.
I had
too, but, you know, not everyone had. It was a 15-year-old movie at the time, I guess.
Yeah. And, technically, okay, Return of the Jedi, which was that conversation, was out in 83. This episode was out in 92.
Okay, so it was 9 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, and the episode ends with Bishop back in the future like, "Did I fix it?"
Well, Ford should have said, "What did we send you to fix? Because this world is still crappy."
Yeah.
But he acted like he knew why he went back in time. And that he...
See, Forge wrote a note.
He put it in his magic watch so it didn't get erased by time.
Yeah, he put it in his, like, iPhone whatever. His, like, crappy wrist iPhone.
iPhone, like, 39?
Yeah. Yeah, Forge remembers to write notes because Forge is a genius.
Right.
Bishop, I mean...
Bishop's the muscle.
Yeah. With, oh my god, that mullet. Just that mullet. Like, it was the rule. Like, in the 90s, you had to have a mullet and you had to be covered in pouches.
Everyone had lots of pouches. And utility belts and bandoliers.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere. Everywhere bandoliers.
But also we see in the future Wolverine's skeleton in a tank.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And then the episode ends.
There is an episode later on. I'm pretty sure I saw this one on Disney XD maybe a couple years ago. Where Bishop just keeps going back to the past and coming back to the future, and each time it is worse and worse. It's like, Bishop, you're not helping.
Bishop, stop. Really, the mutants are terrible at fixing things with time travel, because the same thing happens in Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah, it does. It's every single time. Like, is there ever an instance where they try to time travel and make it better?
Well, X-Men Days of Future Past, the movie, it seemed to work out okay, but other than that, no.
There was that. We completely undid X3, therefore
the world
okay.
is a better place, so it's fine.
Yes. But other than that, it's like time travel always ends poorly. Even in the comics, I mean, Bishop is time traveling to like chase down Cable and a little baby. It's like, Bishop, no, it's a baby. I mean, it doesn't have higher brain functions. It's fine. Oh, Bishop.
The best I think they ever do with time travel is get back to status quo.
Pretty much.
Nothing good comes of it.
Did you ever watch Invader Zim?
No.
Okay, it was a cartoon on Nickelodeon. It was made by Jonan Vasquez, the guy who did Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. And whoever thought it was a good idea to give a guy who made a comic called Johnny the Homicidal Maniac a kid's show on Nickelodeon, I mean, good for you, because I liked it. But it was, in retrospect, probably a bad idea from kid's show point of view. But anyway,
right.
In the first episode... They're trying to get rid of the main character, and they're trying to tell him an explanation for why he's terrible. And they're like, you caused all these fires. You made the fires worse. Worse or better? And I feel like that is how, I mean, all Marvel characters, but mostly the X-Men are when it comes to time travel. You made it worse.
Stop fixing things.
Worse or better? So the art in this...
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, it was so perfectly what the art in the comics were at the time. Just very, you know, Jim Lee and what's his name? Silvestri. He's still doing work right now.
Silvestri, the first name or the last name?
Last name, Silvestri. Like Alan Silvestri, I think.
I don't know. I know I saw the name.
Mark Silvestri? Yes, Mark Silvestri. Alan Silvestri is, I think, a composer. I mean, when I was watching it, I used to think the art was so good. I still love it. But I was watching it, my husband walks through the kitchen, he looks at me and goes, "Ugh!"
It's really not meant to be watched in high def.
It's really not.
Our TVs are too good for this show.
It's one of those things that's so very of its time.
I know, you need to be watching it on a CRT screen.
Yeah. Oh, but even with all its flaws, it still makes me so happy. I just think back to like when I was, you know, 7 years old and watching it, and my cousin and I were talking about it, and he had just gotten into the comics, and he's telling me all the stuff that's going on, like, and you'll never believe what happens. Magneto rips out Wolverine's adamantium, but guess what? When he pops his claws in their bone, and I'm just sitting on the swings like, like it's the most amazing thing I'd ever heard. And it wasn't in the cartoon yet. And oh, it was so wonderful. This cartoon was like my gateway drug.
Mine too. I remember watching this and wanting to read comics and just not being able to because there wasn't access where I lived.
Yeah. I got a bunch of my cousin's old comics and I poured through those things until my mom threw them out one summer. And I remember so clearly, like, reading through Gambit and Rogue and Moira McTaggart's dialogue like they were some sort of foreign language, which started my hatred of people writing in phonetic accents.
Yeah, that's kind of terrible.
Yeah, especially, they don't do it as much these days.
Well, I was reading war comics from the 60s.
Oh, no.
The fake German.
Oh, no.
Mach schnell. Nein.
Wiener schnitzel, wiener schnitzel.
They're making progress.
Yeah, that's true. They actually, like, run something through Google Translate these days.
Or just make the bubble a different color to indicate that it's a different language.
Yeah. So, do you have anything else to say on it?
Just that this is probably, it's probably top three shows from my childhood.
Yeah. It was like this and Batman the Animated Series and I don't know what the other one would be. But this one's definitely like at the top.
Yeah. This show is why Rogue is my favorite.
Yes. Whenever me and my little sister would play X-Men, she was Storm and she would try to do the bad poetry and everything. So she would run around with like a towel trying to be her cape and like flap it around. And I would be Rogue and I would punch her. I don't think I was a very good big sister.
That sounds about right. As the big sister, I think that sounds about right.
Okay. Quotes.
I didn't start writing them down early enough. Otherwise, I would have a whole page. But this kid's crying. Do something. I could spit on him if I wasn't a lady.
Yeah, that one was probably my favorite. Again, dated, but awesome. And I guess we should get into the news now.
News.
So we've got some news on the Netflix series. Starting with Luke Cage.
Luke Cage! See, I do it when SP's not here.
Ha 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 ha. So he's going to be at Comic-Con this year.
Yay. I did not realize it was coming up so soon.
I saw on my Facebook page today, somebody was like, I've got an extra Comic-Con ticket if anybody wants to buy it. And I was like,
I saw that.
I want it.
I know. I can't afford it.
I know. Moving's expensive, y'all.
Yeah. And, I know her universe, Ashley Eckstein's Geek Girl, Star Wars, Marvel, Star Trek, you know, just all sorts of stuff, clothing line, has been posting a bunch of stuff in anticipation of it. And it's just like, I want all this stuff, but it's expensive.
But yeah, so Mike Coulter and Alfie Woodward are definitely going to be there, as well as the showrunner, Chio Hodari Coker. And there are conflicting reports about whether Kristen Ritter will be there.
Like, the official report is that she's not going to be there, but Kristen Ritter said, like, oh, yeah, no, I'm going. So, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I guess, the first official Netflix panel at San Diego Comic-Con. So, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And then, we had heard a while back that Netflix had decided to go forward with a Punisher series, and IMDb has posted a date for when it's supposed to premiere. Which is November 2017. Which we don't know if that's actually true or not. Isn't that when Jessica Jones came out, was November?
Yeah, it was.
So if they were to do Luke Cage this November, and then they could do Iron Fist in the Daredevil timeframe in the spring, in like March, maybe do Defenders in the summer, and then they could do Punisher.
Oh my God, we're going to have so much Netflix to watch.
It's going to be a lot of double episodes.
Yeah.
For the podcast.
It's making me a little bit glad that Marvel's Most Wanted probably was not picked up because could you imagine all the TV we'd have to talk about then?
No more feedback. No more news.
No.
Just all content. Y'all would be tired of hearing us talk. There's also a little bit of a rumor from the Sony Spider Universe. They may be making a Silver Sable movie. According to Popcorn Talk, they have made an arrangement with Abby Morgan to write the script, and there's speculation that Eli Roth might direct.
That would be weird. So I know they wanted to make a movie with, like, in the Spider-Man verse with a female-led hero.
Mm-hmm.
Silver Sable was not really at the top of my list.
Or on my list.
Yeah, I don't think I've thought about Silver Sable in years. Yeah, Abby Morgan has done some really good work. Listed as, like, you know, Shame, the Iron Lady. She's done some other stuff. Eli Roth, though?
I don't know. I get the feeling that this is very much rumor and early on, if it's more than that.
Yeah, this seems to be, hey, let's throw stuff at a dartboard. I mean, right now, Spider-Gwen's hot. Just do Spider-Gwen.
No kidding. Or do Spider-Woman. Except that would come across a lot like, oh, do the girl version of the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Jessica Drew would be fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like a spy story, but with spider powers.
Would be better in the Marvel Universe, but... Oh, except now that Sony's got their arrangement with Marvel, maybe they could do something like that? That would be cool.
Yeah.
So the way that arrangement was working, according to the same article, is that Marvel has creative lead and Sony just gets approval on whether or not the project would go forward. So they would say, yeah, let's do a Spider-Woman Netflix series, and then Marvel would be in charge of making that good.
So it seems to work out pretty well from Sony's perspective, because Marvel, I guess, does all the heavy lifting.
Well, Sony's like, okay, you know, we're not so much good with the making the good. So you guys do that part.
Yeah, you guys do that part and we'll rake in the cash and do the promoting. And Marvel's like, okay, just give us our access to our characters, please. So we can make the stories we want. Speaking of stories that people may or may not have wanted, Marvel has revealed how Cap became Hydra.
Or he didn't.
And like we were saying when it was announced, it was a cosmic cube thing. There was a sentient cosmic cube that restored his youth and super soldier status. I think we mentioned that. And who was secretly under the control of the Red Skull at the time. So, yeah, they implanted, you know, the idea that it was, you know, he'd been a Hydra agent the whole time. A bunch of people are saying, oh, so you got mad over nothing to all the people who got mad. And I still say, no, this still makes me mad. It was still a bad decision.
Yeah. At this point, they're just doing stuff for shock value.
Yeah. There's like an article at the bottom of this page on Newsarama. No, Captain America is not a Nazi. Looking at Hydra's true nature. Hydra are Nazis. That is the end of the story. But anyway, on a lighter note, so, you know, Canada's PM, Justin Trudeau, the guy who looks like he should be in a boy band, and especially because there was that picture of him and Obama, and I forget the other guy, but they were like walking down the hallway like they're like a boy band.
Yes.
Okay, so in issue number 5 of Marvel's Civil War 2, Justin Trudeau is featured on the cover in a, like, boxing outfit with a Canada, you know, maple leaf on the cover with Alpha Flight in the background. It's a variant cover.
Also, Iron Man is back there.
Yeah, also Iron Man and Jessica Drew. But Chip Zdarsky, who is from Edmonton, therefore Canadian, for those who may not be good at geography like me, said that he was approached by Marvel to write an Alpha Flight story and was like, I want to include Justin Trudeau because he's very popular in Canada right now. You watch any news involving Trudeau and they're like, oh, he's doing, like, he can do no wrong right now. He's so popular. He's handsome. And Zdarsky said that he seems to be the popular cultural association with Canada right now, right behind Drake. And I probably couldn't get Drake in the comic. So yeah, the prime minister, is going to be an Alpha Flight. And that seems kind of awesome. The artist who did it has a bunch of reference pictures of him because he doesn't want to do just like a direct photo trace. And he says, I actually look like I have a bit of an alter to Justin Trudeau on my computer. Just a little bit creepy, but okay, it's still fun. And unless something absolutely horrific has happened, or fun, has happened in the past hour or so, I think that's it for news.
I think so. Not a lot of feedback this week. We had a few people share some news articles with us and stuff like that, which we included in our news segment. I think Mr. Pericles shared a couple of those with us.
Yeah. I haven't really talked about Comicpalooza and all that yet, but I will wait to do that until SP is back with us. Suffice it to say that it was awesome and we got a lot of good content, and there will be more good content coming up. So stick around and look to Gonna Geek for that, and check out our YouTube channel for some interesting videos.
Ooh, exciting.
Ooh, yes. If you want to see me making an idiot of myself on a space vehicle, that was on there.
Okay.
Yes. My husband laughed at me.
Well, next week, Star Pie will still be gone. It almost seems like he and I had like some big throwdown. So I was gone for 2 weeks and now he's gone for 2 weeks. But next week, we will continue to hijack the podcast and talk more X-Men cartoons. And we will be discussing the Phoenix Saga, which I believe is like 5 or 6 episodes. I don't remember off of the top of my head.
I don't remember. Phoenix Saga? I thought it was only like 2 episodes.
I don't think so.
That was Phoenix Saga parts 1 and 2.
Googling makes for an interesting podcast.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it was in season 3. Oh my god, there were like 5 episodes.
See, I have the DVD volumes, which do not divide them in the same way the seasons are divided.
Yeah, the Phoenix Saga is like 5 episodes and the Dark Phoenix Saga is 4 episodes.
Oh, I see 5 episodes.
Basically, season 3 is all Phoenix, Phoenix, Phoenix.
All Phoenix all the time.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about next week.
Phoenix Saga, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess what I can do, because otherwise it's going to be a really long live tweet, is on Monday, I can live tweet Phoenix Saga part 1 and 2, and Tuesday to do 3 through 5.
Okay.
Yay.
All right.
Yay.
I don't remember how to end the episode.
So, yeah, thanks for everybody who gets a hold of us, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. We love hearing from you. We love it when you link us news stories because it's a lot of work finding them. And, you know, we appreciate it when you help us out a little with that. And we especially love hearing that y'all are enjoying the show.
Yes. And don't forget that we've got the contest going on right now for the Marvel's Collector's Core Women of Power crate. And you enter that by telling us which Marvel Cinematic Universe character you would like to see gender swapped and who you would like to play that character. So hit us up on Twitter or Facebook or send us an email or call and leave us a voicemail. Just something so that we'll have a record of what you entered.
Yeah, because we will not remember. We have bad memories.
Like goldfish.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Agent Haley.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.